Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome here to the Panic Podcast for Wednesday. This thick fog is just starting to thin out a little bit. I can actually see across the road now. It's going to be a nice late summer day today where I am in Southwest Virginia. I'm sure it's going to be nice where you are too. Today on the podcast, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter again. We're going to be studying about hope. What is hope? The hope that we have in Christ Jesus through His resurrection. Well, we'll find out in just a minute as we continue our study of standing firm under stress, according to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, let's see how far we get here. This is the third or fourth time I've had to start the podcast today. It seems to be a very busy place, the hill on which I live. All my neighbors decided at exactly the same time to take all their trash and put it on the curb to be picked up tomorrow. And my neighbor over the hill from me, who I don't know who it is, he's a newbie on the hill, He brings his trash out using a backhoe, if you can believe it. He puts his trash in the bucket, drives it up over the hill, and deposits it right there on the edge of the road, and it drives the dogs crazy. So he did that twice, and of course I had to stop recording the podcast. Pretty soon I'm going to have to start doing these back in my opulent professional podcaster studio. As summer is winding down here and it's starting to get kind of cool in the mornings, it's a brisk 61 degrees here. And as I said, I got up this morning, I could not see across the road. It was that foggy. It's going to be nice. It's going to be in the mid to upper 70s today, so it's going to be a nice late summer day. And we are in 1 Peter, so let's get looking here at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and then chapter 3, verse 15, and chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 1, 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then just over a page to chapter 3, verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And in chapter 5, verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I mean, there's a real theme there about hope being revived or restored. The hope, along with faith and love, is one of the three permanent graces of the Christian, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Peter had experienced the death of hope when Jesus died, then the renewal or the revival of hope with our Lord's resurrection. If you read 1 Peter 1, 3 in the King James Version, this really becomes apparent. It says that Peter praises God that, quote, He hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The word again is implied. It's not in there in the original, and it's not in there in the modern translations, but it is in the King James Version. Hope had died and was revived by Christ's resurrection. So let's talk, first of all, about the death of hope. The death of hope. Anybody ever have your hopes killed? Yep, hope's dashed. Well, hope died for Peter when Jesus died. You remember Peter had made his powerful affirmation that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God in Matthew 16:16. Now, he misunderstood the nature of the role of the Messiah, that's true, but he was loyal to Jesus. During the trials and the crucifixion of the Lord, the Bible tells us that Peter stood afar off. But he did follow. He never gave up on Jesus, but he did follow. Although the look of Jesus after Peter's denial broke Peter's heart, he still believed and he still had hope. Look at verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the King James Version and older versions, we read the word blessed or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word used here is eulogy, and it's more properly translated as praise. So the NIV and most, I guess, modern translations, that's what they say, praise. In the New Testament, this word is never used in reference to any man. God does not praise man, but man is to praise God, and he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, take a look at, let's see. He says, I lost my place here. Huey's running around all over creation, chasing that crazy buck again. There we go. It says that he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You and I we're in a unique position compared to the rest of the world because we have a living hope. Okay, our hope is not based on like an emotion or a possibility or even a probability. We have a living hope that rests on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And since Christ was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God, obviously we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's interesting in this verse we have it's in praise of the Trinity. We have praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was raised to life by the power of the Spirit. When Jesus Christ was crucified, hope died for other disciples, other than Peter. For example, take a look at Mark chapter 16, verse 3. This is the morning of the resurrection. The women were going to go visit the tomb, and they were wondering who will roll away the stone from the door to the sepulcher or the tomb. I mean, they were a depressed bunch. When the angels remind them at the empty tomb that Jesus had promised to rise again, all of a sudden, according to Luke 24, verse 8, they remembered his words. I always thought that was an interesting statement too. Sometimes you need to be reminded of what you've learned in Scripture, or you need to be reminded of Scriptures that you have read before. It's possible to get caught up in the heat of a moment or the emotion of a moment. In this case, the women at the tomb, I mean, they were down, they were depressed, they were sure that Jesus was dead. And they had to be reminded that Jesus said that he would rise again. You and I need to be reminded of things all the time. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be studying the Word of God all the time. You need to be reminded of things that you know, but then you just don't think about it the moment you need to know them. How about the report of the women to the disciples about the empty tomb and the angels' announcement of the resurrection? In Luke 24, verse 11, the disciples didn't believe the women. They thought that they were telling tall tales. And remember, Peter and John, they ran to the tomb to see if the body had been stolen. And John said that he saw the grave clothes lying there and neatly wrapped, folded up or whatever. And they believed. Peter and John saw that the tomb was empty and they believed in John chapter 20. You know, this was the evidence that they had not believed before this experience. They saw and they believed. And remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his unnamed friend. They had no hope. They were walking along the road. They were depressed, talking about Jesus, and they were just down. Right? Speaking about Jesus who'd been crucified. Remember Luke 24, 21? But we had trusted that it had been he which had been should have redeemed Israel. You know, 3 days had passed by, and they were just depressed. They were down. And when Jesus appeared to them, they didn't recognize him at first. But this apparently unknown stranger walked beside the two disciples, expounding on Scripture. And remember what the text says? Their hearts burned within them. And then, of course, they realized after they'd eaten with this stranger that he was, in fact, the risen Lord. And they had hope again. So, you know, it's an understandable fact that the followers of Jesus, even though they had been repeatedly told by the Lord that he would die and that he would rise again, when the actual event of the crucifixion and death took place, it's almost as if it caught them off guard and they completely forgotten what they had been told, and they were down and they had been depressed. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been so down and so depressed that you've forgotten about all the good things that you've read in Scripture? I guess that happens to all of us, doesn't it? I guess it does. Well, the resurrection occurs, and hope returns to the followers of Jesus. And there are all kinds of appearances of the resurrected Lord. Let's look at a few of them here this morning. Now, the first appearance we have for us is Luke 20 24 verses 1-8, and we mentioned this already. It was his appearance to the women that went to the tomb. Luke 24 verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. You remember the angel appeared. Look at verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Isn't that a great question? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Quote, they're quoting Jesus here, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." They remembered his words. And they went, I mean, can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine how they felt when they ran back to the 11 and told them the news? How excited they were. Well, the revival of hope. They had been down. They had been depressed. But when they heard and had it confirmed in their hearts that the Lord Jesus had been raised back to life, hope had been restored. And then John 20, verses 1-18, it's the story of how Mary Magdalene, early on the first day of the week, chapter 20, verse 1, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. You know, how must you feel when the one that you loved so much is gone? His body, he has died, but now his body is gone. It's missing. Nobody knows where it is. Go down to John 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she bent over to look into the tomb, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I do not know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll get him. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, and at that moment, she recognized who this was. Rabboni, teacher, she cried out. And then she ran to the disciples. I've seen the Lord. Hope was revived in her heart when she saw Jesus. And then, of course, we talked about Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. But Jesus also appeared to Simon Peter in Luke 24. Go down to verse 32. Luke chapter 24. Where are we? Down to verse 32. They got up, this is the 32 to 35. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So they got up, that's Cleopas and his friend, and returned to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon, to Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them and he broke bread. Then Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room when Thomas wasn't there. Remember that? And then he appeared to the disciples the following Sunday night and Thomas was there. Jesus appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Remember Jesus sees them fishing off in the distance on the water, waves them to come into land, and he's prepared breakfast for them. Jesus repeats the miraculous catch of fish, as it Peter's called to the ministry, and reaffirms his apostleship. Jesus also appeared to the 500 at a mountain in Galilee, as Jesus had appointed before his death. He appeared to James, his half-brother. He appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives and at the Ascension. Remember, Peter and the other disciples, they were now convinced that Christ lived. They were down, they were depressed, their hope was dead, but they witnessed to the truth of the resurrection and hope was restored. And it was this hope that enabled them to carry on the work started by their Lord, even to the point of martyrdom and exile. This hope gave them the strength, the impetus to fulfill the Great Commission, to take the gospel everywhere and to baptize sinners, you know. The Word of God that they knew so well had literally been upended and reinterpreted by Jesus. He opened their minds so that they could, for the first time, understand all the scriptures that they knew so well. He showed them in the Old Testament, the risen Lord, he had showed them in the Old Testament. Luke 24, look at Luke 24 again. A lot of interesting verses in Luke 24, verse 46. Verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, you're witnesses of these things. Jesus tells them, you've just seen all of this come true. And I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, that's referring to the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The risen Lord had just commissioned them to preach the gospel to all nations. They would begin in Jerusalem and spread out to Judea and Samaria, eventually to the whole world. And our Lord made it very clear that they were to wait around in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the gospel age. They obeyed. They had hope. But it was all because of the hope in the risen Lord. And I can't stress this enough, this idea of how the resurrected or the risen Lord gives us hope. You know, Christianity is the only belief system in the whole world that rests on the risen Lord. The founder of the Christian faith died, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead. That's why Christianity is not like any other belief system in the world. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a living hope, a hope that cannot die. It just cannot. And it was this hope that propelled those early disciples and the apostles to preach and teach the Word of God, even though it meant their persecution and their death. So this hope, coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit, is the reason you and I are here today, part of the body of Christ. You and I are the recipients of what the early evangelists and missionaries, we are the recipients of their work. But don't ever underestimate the power of hope. It's amazing what you can do when you have this kind of hope. And here's the thing, the Christian hope is a reasonable hope. We, every reason for believing in God the Father is a reason for hope. Just think about what that phrase means, God the Father. Our God is not a cold, impersonal deity, afar off in nature or way off in the depths of space. Our God is our Father. Now just think about what that means. And then think about how the fatherhood of God relates to the hope that you have in Him. And just think about what God the Father does for us. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is the one who watches over us. He's the one who cares for us. We have every reason in the world for hope, or to hope, because God is our Father. We have every reason for believing in God the Son. That's a reason for hope. Think about what we have in God the Son. Jesus Christ came. He lived a perfect, sinless life, provided us with incredible teachings so that we could live a good life in the here and now. But He also died for our sins to secure for us forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins, purifies our consciences, and enables us to have right standing before God the Father in heaven. We can pray today because of what Jesus Christ did for us with the assurance that not only are our prayers heard by God, but that they will be answered by a loving Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ came to reveal that side of God to us and to give us the ability to experience that side of God the Father. Every experience of God, the Holy Spirit is a reason for hope, including our salvation and the witness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, just think about what we have simply because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit shows us what's wrong in our lives and gives us the ability to make right what is wrong. That gives us hope. You see, the witness of Peter and the others whose hope was revived by the resurrection of Jesus is also a resurrection of hope. Just as a reason for hope. Just think about Peter and what he went through. He was pretty much finished. He was pretty much done for. After the crucifixion and the death of the Lord, Peter had gone back to fishing. He'd given up, thrown in the towel. He'd gone back to I'm not saying that he backslid or lost his salvation. That's not what I mean. But he went back to his old job as a fisherman. But when the risen Lord appeared to him, it was like a light bulb went on over his head. And he finally gave up on fishing and he took to preaching the gospel. Hope. Hope because of Jesus. And I just want to encourage all of you out there. It's a hopeless world in which we live. There's not a lot of reason for hope. In fact, the world tricks you. The world promises hope, but then doesn't deliver a lot of it. You know, if you ever get to feeling down or discouraged, if you ever get to feeling low, then please remember that the hope you have in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Please remember all that you have in Jesus Christ. Please remember what he did for you on the cross. But most of all, please remember that he's not on that cross anymore, nor is he in the tomb. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is working right now on your behalf. You have every reason for hope. Don't ever throw in the towel. Have faith, have hope in Jesus Christ and what he can do for you, what he did for you, and what he's going to do for you. Okay, that's it. We need to get busy here. Got a busy day here doing the work of the Lord in Southwest Virginia. Thanks for tuning into the Panic Podcast today. Now, come on back on Friday. We're going to continue our series in 1 John on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that. And so have a good week today. Make sure that you spread a little bit of hope. Be a blessing to other people today as you serve God. God bless you. We'll see you all again real soon.